World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning. We've done a reversal here in Hebron, Ohio, or outside in the cornfields outside of Hebron, Ohio. Last week it was 94 plus. Today, right now, as I kick off here at 7 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, it's 49 degrees here. Crazy. And that means the leaves are going to start turning and all that kind of stuff. But welcome. Good morning. Got a lot going on today. A lot going on. Don't mean to not look you in the face. Don't mean to scratch my face, Chad. Sorry, I'm doing that. We're going to reveal, whatever, some actions today that we're into. See, we are an action-based ministry. And I would say this, I don't know anybody that's doing what we do here. Now, that doesn't mean we're special. Doesn't mean, how about this? As Randy says, we found our tribe. Lord, let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart please you today in Jesus' name. We found our tribe. And we have, I've been doing this today as show number 2,232. My wife said to me this morning when I said, wow, honey, this is show 2,232. She says, honey, I'll say one thing about you. You've been faithful. You have any idea how many mornings in a row that is? And try to come in here every day with fresh material enough to make people want to come back. This has been the world's greatest Bible study, if you really want to be. By Bible study, I mean taking what the Word says, make it relevant. And I don't know any place else that's doing what we're doing. I'm not bragging about me. I'm bragging about Craig, and I'm bragging about Randy, and I'm bragging about Steve, and I'm bragging about Dave, and I'm bragging about Jeff, and I'm bragging on and on and on and on, who people have just simply taken what the Word says and have put it into action. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Mel. I got to get out of the way here a minute because some of these people got jobs and they got to get running and they got to do something. So Mel is going to come in, I think. By the way, I put this down. Hey, guys, remember Paul Goslin? Yeah, you guys have his address. Keep sending him cards. I don't know what's going on with it. We're going to try to get him out on bail. Yeah, I really don't have a lot of info. He called me the other day and left a message. I don't know how I keep missing his call. But anyway, keep him in mind, will you? Keep him in mind. And he ain't heavy, he's our brother. Did he screw up? I don't know. He ain't heavy, he's our brother. So I'm going to get out of the way here real quick. I'm going to let Craig and Mel come in here because this is not, even though this is Coach Dave live, this isn't just Coach Dave. Right? Not just me. It's a team. We got some great team players. We've got a couple of plays called that we want to make you aware of. So I'm going to step out of the way here a little bit. We'll let Mel come in and do her thing. Craig can come in when he wants to because he has some pertinent stuff. And Randy and yada, yada, yada. Mel, go.
All right. Hey, thanks. So, as you know, the Liberty Action Network puts out actions from time to time. And this one has been building over some time. So just to give you a little bit of background, in September of 2022, Craig worked to launch an action called A Calling to the People. And we were, praying, together in one accord. We planned the trip to Gettysburg, which was great. And so it really launched the Liberty Action Network in a really meaningful way. We had been doing some things before that, but really it was that action that really launched us, into what we've become today. So for those of you who are not familiar with the Liberty Action Network, you can find it at thelibertyactionnetwork.com. So what we're doing this year, during the last time that we did this, it was during the month of Elul, and Craig knows a lot more about the month of Elul than I do, but it's, based on the Hebrew calendar, and the month of Elul is a time of, forgiveness and repentance and love and intimacy with God, you know, accounting of the soul, visiting graves, you know, preparation for the high holidays. So, you know, especially the repentance part of that, you know, back, you know, 2 years ago in September of 2022, Craig described that, you know, Abraham Lincoln called the nation to prayer and repentance and fasting, and how we wish we had leaders like that today that were, you know, presidents and leaders that believed in prayer and were leading our nation. I think sometimes we get the leaders that we deserve because it's a reflection of our country. So anyway, this year, you know, we are kind of launching a similar time of prayer and repentance. This year, the month of Elul is from September 4th to October 2nd. So what do you know? Today is September the 4th. So today starts the month of Elul. And so with an attitude of repentance and forgiveness, we've revised the September 22 action, changed it from a calling to the people to a calling to my people, kind of based on that, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name. And we changed it from, a, you know, the nation to the nations, because we know that God's people are scattered around everywhere and that the remnant doesn't just exist in the United States of America.
God's not an American. God's not an American. Right? Right.
So we got to get over ourselves, right? Like, we're God's people. So if you go to the libertyactionnetwork.com to the front page, you can see this triple action that we've put together. You know, the first one is called First Things First. We need to repent. You know, it's repentance, humiliation, remorse, fasting, and prayer. So if you click on that, you'll see the prayer that we're all reading together. And then you can see also that there's a click and print at the bottom where you can, you know, click it, print it, you know, take it with you in the car, share it with friends. So, Coach, I don't know if we want to take time to do that this morning, but I'll kind of describe
it. Yes, click and print so people can see what it looks like. So there it is, folks. You can print that thing off. You can print that. Hey, folks, listen, are you looking at me? Are you looking at me? Right now, today, you could get on the phone with six of your buddies, women buddies, female, and pray this together. Do you understand this? Do you understand that you can do this? You can become the leader. You can organize six women, 10 women, five, huh? You could, your prayer group, all come together and pray this at the same time. Or have them all at least do it at some time during the day. Quit watching and get involved. Go ahead, Mel.
Yes, we've tried to make this as easy as possible. This seems to be the template that works for us. So, and Spencer, if you can just kind of go back to the front page again. So the second part of the triple action is stand and speak to the mountain of the media. So this is the prayer that we used during the DNC convention. So we've actually, you know, test drove this one. This is really a very, you know, powerful, you know, prayer that we can pray together. And this really is to the media or to any media event, or, I mean, it can be used so often because we've got so much programming around us that this is a great one. So if you click into that one, Spencer, you can see, mm-hmm. Not only is the prayer there on the screen and down below is a click and print, but we also have kind of the Jericho template. And, you know, Randy put this together for us. It's the idea of, you know, we go there, we walk around the place seven times. We stake the corners with like either stakes or stones, or, you know, in the Bible, they were always putting markers down for you know, for places that were significant or that they were really, you know, drawing God's attention to. So that is there. And then the third part is an action for the county courts. And this is what Randy's been doing in Oklahoma. His goal is to get to all of the county courts in Oklahoma. And it's really making a big difference there. And this really could be a template for all of the states in the United States. So again,
they could also pray this with their prayer group. Could they not?
Right. Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. All of these can be done, you know, individually, or, you know, even better as groups, you know, being in one accord, you know, doing this together. So, but anyway, Craig or Randy, do you have anything else you want to add?
By the way, Betty snuck in on me here. We're all over this way, Betty. Betty's heading to North Dakota or someplace. So, huh? South Dakota, one of those Dakotas. Go ahead, Craig.
I think Mel has basically summed it up, Coach. I mean, I love Mel. I love what she does. She takes your vision.
She has that organizational gift, doesn't she?
And she presents it so people can understand it, and it's easy to digest. So I really don't have anything to say except that this is a moment. This is a moment for us individually, corporately, as God's hands and feet, and for our nation, you know. And I would take this month very seriously. I would take this action very, very seriously, because I believe God takes it very, very seriously. So really go to prayer about that and make it.
So let me interrupt here a second, Craig. So Mel, for those who came to class late, or those who were writing notes to their girlfriend while we were getting started, or those who were baking a pancake and weren't really listening, what do they do?
Okay, put it right out there. So you click into the first one, the first things first.
Okay, you go to the Liberty Action Network, put it in the chat, theLibertyActionNetwork.com. Okay, they click on that, and then they go to actions and announcements.
Yeah, I would say scroll down on the first page. You can get to the actions at the top tab too, but because this is a triple action, you can see them more clearly on the front page. But once you click into it, this is the first action.
And, it's all written for them. All they got to do is get together with people and read it and pray this prayer together, right?
Right. If you're on your laptop or if you're on your phone, you can pull this up online and read it without printing it. If you want to take it on the go, though, you've got your click and print buttons below. And you can click it, print a copy for yourself, you know, print 10 for your closest 10 friends and ask them to join us. You know, this is a time of, you know, coming together. And you know what? Repent really means to change your mind. Like, we have to all change our mind and really focus on God. So that's what this first act
repent, is. Repent doesn't mean just to say you're sorry. Repent means to turn and leave. Repent means I ain't doing that anymore. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm going the other way. That's what it means to repent. It means to turn, right? So we have to take this. Look, if your faith is real and serious, and folks, we got to take this stuff seriously. Sorry, Mel. Sorry, Craig. This kind of is what it is here. Mel, do we want to read this morning?
Absolutely.
I think we absolutely do want to as well. So Betty's right here. She's going to read this first one, A Calling to My People. Betty's stopped by on her way someplace, so. So do we want to read all three or just this one?
Let's just do this one today.
Okay. A Calling of My People. Betty, you are up and ready to go. Hang on, Betty. Come on over a little bit more so they can see you. There you go.
It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
Hang on right there, Betty. Okay, folks, get in an attitude of prayer now, okay? Betty just read 2 Chronicles 7:14. If, it's an if. If what? Not just my people, ones that are called by my name. If just those people would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their own wicked ways. If they would just do that, then, so there's a yin and a yang. If and then. If and then. If and then. See, it's not if and then get Trump in office. That's not what it is. If my people. Hey, Craig. Hey, Randy. A lot of pressure on us, isn't it? A lot of pressure on us. But it isn't really a lot of pressure on us. It's a matter of us pushing the button that he told us to push. Push the button. If you'll push that button and do what I tell you to do, I'm going to do this. So when I came down here this morning, amazing thing happened. I walked in here and I plugged in the lights. You know what happened? Yeah. Lights came on. It's crazy. The lights came on, right? It was a magical. That's what happened. If you put the plug in the socket, then the lights will come on. So if my people will call by my name and humble themselves and pray, then, if and then. Sorry, go ahead, Betty.
A calling to his people to be a contrite and humble spirit, remorseful of the sins of his people and the nations. We have abandoned the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who indwell mankind in the flesh, through his son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was crucified, buried, and rose to life on the third day, and now sits at the right hand of the Father.
Hang on. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. That's true. That's all true. Amen. I believe that.
Amen.
Boom.
we as children of the Most High have been so richly blessed by the bountiful.
Amen.
Providential hand of God. We as children of the Most High must now bear the burden of nations who have turned their back and withdrawn from honoring the scriptural and moral truth outlined in the Holy Bible.
And all God's people said, amen.
By denying these moral truths and not letting them reside in our hearts and mind, we as God's children have set ourselves up for the Most High to remove his providential hand of blessings
amen.
From the nations.
Amen. We deserve it.
We have set ourselves up for judgment to be decreed upon God's and our sins as children as the Most High, by omission as well as commission, have brought our nations to the brink of collapse from within and amongst ourselves.
Hang on. The sin of omission. See, there's a sin of commission. The commission is you commit a sin, right? The sin of omission is not doing what you should have done. So not doing what you should have done is a sin. It's a sin of omission. And we are in grave danger in this country because we are full of the sin of omission. Things we should have done and did not do. Go ahead, Betty.
Therefore, we are calling on all of the children of the Most High to lead God's people to be of one accord, daily submitting our hearts and getting on bended knees.
Do this with somebody in your family today or a friend today. Go ahead.
To be united in one accord in the spirit of humility, prayer, remorse, fasting for the sins of the nation and his people. We ask you that you pledge to daily take up this calling from the Lord to intercede on behalf of the nations and God's people.
Amen.
We ask for a Holy Spirit outpouring of conviction upon God's people that we will confess, repent, and turn from our wicked ways.
Who will do that? Who will do that? A conviction upon God's people. Not Donald Trump, not the Republican Party. Huh? Yeah, God's people, right? Okay.
Returning to teaching and obeying the biblical morality and truth defined in the Holy Scriptures. We as the nations have many sins to
atone for.
We ask that you be in agreement and of one accord on these six topics with intercessory prayers.
So folks, all during the day, as it comes to your mind, your spirit, you can repeat this. You can repeat, Lord, we are so sorry for, go ahead, Betty.
As the Holy Spirit leads you in this endeavor, please add other areas that are placed upon your heart. These six areas listed below have played a pivotal role in provoking God to bring judgment upon the nations. We as God's people have embraced and tolerated these sins instead of repenting and turning from them.
Huh? Yeah. We couldn't wait for the Supreme Court to overturn abortion. Church ain't doing a daggone thing. Go ahead.
Abortion, the shedding of innocent blood.
We're confessing the sin of abortion on this nation. We're confessing that. It's a mortal sin. And for us to let it continue to go on is a sin of omission. Would you disagree with that? Huh? God's people are supposed to do something about this, right? Okay.
Homosexual sin, which runs rampant in the country.
So we're supposed to tolerate it and invite them into our churches and tell them how much Jesus, is that what we're supposed to do? Or are we supposed to oppose homosexual sin, which runs rampant in the country? Which one, Betty? No. We're supposed to oppose it, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Sexual immorality, pornography, lewdness, and lascivious behavior, especially on our youth.
Lascivious means it's out of control. Out of control. We have out of control children, out of control media. It's out of control. Lascivious behavior done with the approval of the church. Go ahead.
Breakup of the natural family, rampant divorce, Supreme Court redefining marriage.
Lord, we're so sorry we let that go on, Lord.
Failure of God's church leaders and its people to defend biblical truth in the public.
Oh, my goodness, huh? Failure of God's church leaders. You know that guy hiding behind the pulpit, right? That guy that hiding behind the 501c3 says he's not allowed to talk. You know who I'm talking about, right, Betty?
Yes.
That guy. Okay. Yeah, he needs to repent. He needs to repent. Hey, pastor, you need to repent, dude. You need to repent. You cowardly, cowering in the corner. You need to repent.
Injustice, human trafficking, gluttony, lack of empathy to our fellow man and their plight.
Amen, amen, amen. These are the six. These are the six right now that you can be interceding for all day. Repentance, repentance, repentance. Go ahead, Betty.
May God hear our intercessory pleas and have mercy upon his people and the nations.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen. Amen. We're at war. Let's act like we're at war. Let's try to love everybody in the kingdom. It's not the way it works. I know Craig's got something to add on top of this. Craig, what's the significance of doing this, beginning this right now, Craig?
Well, God marks days and times and years, and it's his calendar, right? And so this begins a month of reflection, right? And if you've ever had your life crumble in front of you and you sat on the porch and you were drinking tea, or maybe if you were Roger, you had a stiff drink in your hand, and you look back and you're like, why is my life such a mess? Why are these things befalling me? This is the spirit that you need to be in this month and say, Lord, you know, why are these things happening amongst us in my own life? I mean, this is not only our nation, but this is about our own lives.
Yin and yang. Michelle and I were yin and yang in it again yesterday, right?
Your interpersonal relationships with your wife and your kids and your coworkers. So God appreciates a heart that's humble clay that he can help mold and fix it and into his thing. So just take that seriously. And I just want to say one thing. You see that there, Coach?
Yes.
That's a pulse ox of 98% oxygen.
Yeah, yeah.
And a heart rate of 80.
Amen.
And that Amen. God is faithful to take care of you in times of trouble.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because a week ago, I was sucking on oxygen.
A week ago, you were sucking on oxygen. Hey, Craig, real quickly, the significance of this time that we're in, this month we're in.
Well, not only, okay, has it been, you know, you could go back and I'll put this in the chat of why the month of October, okay, this is the leading up to what happens, has been a historic time of massive failures of financial. Because this is when God brings his judgment in. He says, okay, hey, you guys, you've been doing great. I'm going to bless you and we're going to move forward. Or, hey, guys, you've been really doing bad. And guess what? I'm getting ready to pull out the third leg of your stool and let's see how you sit on it right now. Mm. Okay. If you just go back just in recent history, and I'll put in the chat why this is a financial time. And you can look back to 1929, October 24th, Black Friday of 1987. Okay. And of 2008, if you remember, you know, when Bush was going out and Obama, I mean, the whole country was just unraveling. The housing crisis was just coming apart. I mean, it was just everything in a short period of time. I believe, okay, I can't say thus saith the Lord, but I believe this month is going to be similar to our past months, because you have the feds that are getting ready to reduce interest rates on September 18th.
Craig, we got businesses, we got major businesses closing all across America. These food chains, dollar stores, I mean, massive, massive closings going on right in front of us, and we don't realize it.
Well, these things have been going on for a while, but the thing is it's when you get to the realization. In other words, when the rubber hits the road at the people that are pulling the figures and the numbers and the people that are investing their money, and they all get there and they all have the same thing. Wow, maybe this ship ain't going to make it to its destination.
Yeah, that's
right. They all decide, hey, we're going to pull our money and we're going to do things. And this could be very well be this time. We will have to see.
So. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear, right? Huh? Something going on. Betty had to leave. Thanks, Betty. All right, Craig. Hey, so we're doers here, right? We're doers. And you know what's amazing? A lot of things are amazing. You can get rid of my green screen. Looks like hell. Hell wouldn't be green. I mean, the giftings. I just want to stop here for a minute. So Craig's been getting in and out here, the huddle, he's been here a long time. And Craig, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, you had this same unction inside of you, but you had no place to plug it in, did you?
No, I think it's like I was at like a muscle car, but I didn't have a transmission. Okay. So
good picture. That's right. Same thing with Randy, right? I mean, I can run down the list of things, right? And so you can you can make all the fun you want to. Oh, it's a cult and all that stuff that your friends are telling you. The reality of it is you boys are getting some crap done, baby. You're getting some crap done. And nobody will know until the end of the game. It's like when I was watching football film. Sometimes you see some guy break off a long run. And he goes 65 yards and everybody's down the end zone. They're jumping up and down. They're pounding him on the helmet. Great job, great job. And then after the game's over, I'm looking at the film. And it was one little block made by the right guard that hardly anybody noticed that sprung him. Folks, that's where we are. You never know when your block is going to make the difference. And the more blockers we can get involved in this game, wouldn't it be awesome for you when you stand before Almighty God in that great white throne judgment, you've made it and you're standing before the Lord, and he runs that video, he replays that video, and he says, hey, Randy, remember when you did that, Randy? Remember when you did that? Randy, you know what happened because you did that? And then he opens up the game film, say, oh my goodness. So the Bible says, despise not the days of small beginnings. I heard that, Lord. Holy Spirit just said, you're having as much impact as Rush Limbaugh ever did. Huh? Why? Because Randy's doing stuff and Gene's doing stuff and Craig's doing stuff. And Dave's doing stuff, and Jeff's doing stuff. Clay's doing stuff. Huh? You with me? You with me? So we're not big and flashy. We're just a bunch of guys put our boots on every day and go to work. We're making a big, big difference. It's a couple minutes a day, baby. Go ahead, Randy. Come on in. Hey, look, yeah, look. I ain't patting myself on the back, but if you cannot see that something is going on in the midst of what we're doing, and you need to go wash your eyes out. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, when the anointing's on it, just keep riding that horse. Just stay on that horse. Coach, and the example you gave of the football team, if you've got a mismatch in the secondary, you just keep throwing the ball and completing a 10-yard pass. Just keep doing it until they stop you.
They can't just keep doing it.
Keep running off tackle when you can block that and open that hole and you can get 5-10 yards. You just keep doing it, coach. And it isn't because you're trying to follow the great player. It's because it's working. The anointing. Lost him. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Okay. I thought I lost you. My internet's been going in and out. But you just keep running it. Coach, the anointing is on this thing right now.
Amen, baby.
The anointing is on it, okay? Ask Gene. Ask anybody that's doing this with us and Craig. And but what's so great about what Craig has laid out and Mel is if your heart's not in this, if you haven't got your mind right and repented, you're just watching. You're not on the play. You're not in the play. You're just watching. So, Coach, can you throw up 1 Samuel 15:22-24?
Yes, 1 Samuel. Yes, hold up there.
Okay, Coach. Saul, the king, the king wanted to do it his way, my way. I will, my way, my agenda, me. When we have that attitude, this ain't about me, Coach. This ain't about Craig. It's not about Mel. It's not about you. It's about the Holy Spirit is a powerful force. We have to be about His agenda. So. We're just running this play every time until they stop us. So, Coach, if you read this, what happens is when you don't get your heart, when your heart's not right, you're not going to do anything. You may do your thing, but you're not doing God's thing. And that's what he's showing us here in this story. Saul said, I'm going to do it my way, and he disobeyed God. And in fact, God calls it rebellion. And he took the kingship away from him at that moment. Okay, so in other words, if you don't have a heart of repentance, you're not in a position to do this. So this is critical that our hearts say, turn and say, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, forgive me for my selfishness. Put me in a place with you where I can participate, mm-hmm. and that's what That's what the repentance. It's not for everyone. It's for you to do the job.
Amen.
So,
amen.
So, Coach, go ahead and read that, Coach. It's a great picture here.
Excuse me. And Saul said unto Samuel, yeah, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I've gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Samuel said, all that religious stuff you're doing, is that's real? You think he likes it? You think God's sitting around and he's enjoying that? So you're doing praise and worship in your church? You think he likes that? I mean, he probably likes that. But no, burnt offerings and sacrifice. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken in the fat of rams. See, quit doing all this praising the Lord and not doing anything. Ooh. I think, am I reading that right? Anybody think I'm misreading that? He said, it stinks to me. It stinks to me. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Oh. And stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Lord's told you to do it, and you don't do it. Who knows why? Well, it's stubbornness. It's iniquity, idolatry. Lord told you to do it, and you don't do it. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he's decided that you ain't going to be king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I've sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people. I listened to them. I listened to the peanut gallery. I listened to the peanut gallery Christians telling me I'm getting too zealous and too religious and spending all my time following that Coach Dave. And, feared the people and obeyed their voice. Good catch here, Randy. Anything else you want to say? For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft.
Coach.
And stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry.
There's no glory in what we're doing, Coach. Look, when you block and you block and you block and you block every play and someone scores and someone else makes a great play that everybody sees and nobody sees what you're doing and you just keep blocking and blocking and blocking and doing your job, there's no glory in it, Coach.
Nope.
Most people don't want to do anything that they don't get recognized and just look at me. Look. Nope. When you sacrifice yourself in what God's doing and nobody sees it, you know, but they all see the fruit. They all see the victory because of what someone else did in the line. Jesus said, I don't seek my own glory, Coach. All he lived for was to glorify the Father and to give him glory. And we have to get our hearts right and say, Lord, I am not in this for any glory. I want to just see your glory. I want the people to see your glory. And there's the test, Coach. Mm. That's what you have to ask yourself.
I got to dig up something here real quick. Roger, I'm going to dig something up here. Roger, come on in here a second.
Because we know you know.
Oh, I think the thing that has touched me today is, Dave, we've got to keep the concept of balance in order. And what I mean by that is there's nothing wrong with mercy ministries. There's nothing wrong with the understanding of God's love. But I've always felt the problem has always been balance. Very little action steps are ever mentioned in church. Let's go someplace. Let's go do something. The balance of evil versus good. There's nothing wrong with talking about the good of the Lord, but We seldom talk about the evil that is amongst us. So that's where I rest on these things. I'm not the most active person going out there, but I'm perfectly content and satisfied with how the Lord is speaking to me and what I need to be doing at this time of my life. Others may not agree with it or disagree with it. But I think it's also the individual relationship with our Lord. What is He calling you to do? And there may be people on the queue that are called in a direction of prayer time or something other than an action step. And that is okay, because that is between them and God and what He's calling them to do. But I've always felt it's the issue of balance when it comes to these things. And I don't know if that resonates with anybody or is topical right now, but more power to Randy and some of the people that the Lord has spoken to them of how they want to move, and to Mel. But I think it's like a big wheel, Dave. There's many spokes in the Christian faith. And I'm not saying that to protect somebody who should be doing something else, but what Roger Weaver does and how the Lord speaks to me is the key, that I'm following how He's speaking to me. So
that's all we can do. I want to show you an illustration. Holy Spirit just put this in my head. Spencer, I just sent it to you. I pulled it up there. It's a Facebook page. I'm going to show you something, friends. This is the way it's supposed to work, okay? I don't know how I came across this. London Red Raider football reunion. By the way, I have one this weekend. I just found out, but that's not. Go scroll down. I want to show you. I want you all to watch. Keep going, Spencer. Keep going. Keep going. I'll tell you when. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. There was a team. Wow. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Stop right there. Okay, hang on. Freeze it. Freeze it. September 25th, 1992. September 25th, 1992. London Red Raiders. I want you to watch something here. This is an old video, right? Joe Johnson, or John Johnson, the quarterback, going to take a snap, and he's going to throw a hit, what we call a hitch, a pass real quick out here to Dwight Jones. And Dwight, nobody could tackle Dwight Jones. So Johnny's going to throw the ball to Dwight Jones, and Dwight's going to do a juke, and he's going to score the touchdown. It's an amazing play, really. So Dwight Jones, John Johnson takes the ball, he throws it to Dwight, and Dwight does his thing. But here's what I want you to watch. I want you to watch. Try not to cry. The reaction of the guys in the trenches who made the play possible. Go ahead and run it.
Right, they're going to Dwight. Oh, he puts a move on him. He can go all the way. He's got touchdown. What a move by Dwight Jones. A beautiful move.
Do you see it's a team? Do you see it's a team? One guy throws it, another guy runs with it, and everybody goes to the end zone. Do it again.
Jones right, Peters. Jones left, Peters right. They're going to Dwight. Oh, he puts a move on him. He can go all the way. He's got touchdown.
Here they come. Here they come.
A beautiful move.
All those guys who blocked their man, and nobody knows they did it. One more time. All those guys up there in the Jones front, you don't even right, know who they Peters. Are.
Jones left, Matt Peters right, they're going to Dwight. Oh, he puts a move on him. He can go all the way. He's got touchdown. What a move.
Here they come, the no-names. Here come the no-names.
A beautiful move.
They're not jealous. They don't care that their name wasn't in the paper. They don't care that they didn't get credit for the touchdown. They blocked their friggin' man so Johnny could get it to Dwight so Dwight could use his gift. And here we all come. Here they come. I got my man. I got my man. I got my man. Come on in, Jack.
Yep. Your reference to Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh was nothing but a flash. I quit listening to Rush Limbaugh years ago because if you came on to Rush Limbaugh's show and said anything like Randy or Mel or Glenn say, you would be shut off. But Rush Limbaugh, I'm in here almost every morning because we're doing things. You're doing things. It encourages all of us. There's no comparison. What you're doing is far, far more effective than anything Limbaugh ever did, ever.
Amen. Thanks, Jack, for clarifying the point that I made. Limbaugh didn't do anything other than give you a play-by-play.
He will answer for that because he had the ear of the world and did nothing.
He could have done something. Okay, so look, and we'll play one more time because this is so illustrative, folks. This is us. This is us. Everybody blocking their man and Dwight doing stop. Hang on. You know any of those guys? You know any of those guys up there lined up? You know any of them? I know them. Heath Robinson. Amazing how I can remember that. I could, huh? Oh, Fincham? Huh? Dwyer? I can run. In 1992, I can run down that list, all those guys. And watch what's going to happen. Aaron Roberts is a fullback. Carl King's a tailback. Johnny Johnson. Going to grab the ball, throw it as quickly as he can out here to Dwight. And those guys in front are going to do what we called crab block. They're going to dive into the legs of those guys so they can't stand up and block the path. They're all going to get their man, going to throw the ball out here to Dwight, and Dwight's going to use his gift. And he's going to run down the end zone, and those guys are going to come down with Dwight because they know had they not done their crab block, the pass couldn't have got off. And even though Dwight's name will be in the paper, 65-yard pass from John Johnson, it'll be in the paper. They know that they were the ones that scored the touchdown. And you'll see them when they're down in the end zone. They don't care they didn't score. They're glad Dwight did. Watch it. Here they come. Here they come. We did it. We did it. We did it. We did it. This ain't hard, boys. This ain't hard. Come on in, Craig.
I would just like encourage everyone to go to first chapter Samuel that Randy picked up and he read. And just read the rest of it because what it says is, after Saul repented, he says, I've sinned. Guess what happens? Samuel says, bring Agag, the king of Amalekites, to him. And what does Samuel do? He cuts him up. He kills him. Why? Because the Lord told Saul to do this. And then let me read the rest of it. It says, then Samuel went up to Gilead of Saul.
What verse are you on, Craig?
33 and 34.
All right. So if Saul didn't go out and pray for him, didn't go out and pray for his enemies. Go ahead.
And so anyway, I'm just going to paraphrase it. I'm just going to say after that, Samuel never went to see Saul and Saul died. Although even though when Saul died, Samuel, he mourned. But nevertheless, at the very end, it says the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel.
And
the Lord, I mean, this is God, right? I mean, this is one that knows the end from the beginning. So to Roger's point, this is what I would say. If the Lord's asking you to do something, do it. That's what you're responsible for. Don't make yourself compared to anybody in here.
Amen.
But if you can learn some good things from them and the Lord says, yeah, go do it, do it. But Amen. If the Lord's telling you something to do that you're not doing right now, I would take this very, very seriously. Maybe it's to go, hey, look, I messed up and I need to repent to this person. Whatever it is, the Lord will put it on your heart. Be faithful in that. And if the Lord says go to a courthouse, then you go to a courthouse.
If he tells you to stand up and speak, stand up and speak. If he tells you to go say something to your pastor, go say something to your pastor. Just do your job. Put that football play back up again. You do that, Spence? Put that back up there. That's a great illustration. Hang on. Go back there at the beginning of this thing. Sorry for you football fans. I want you to watch this real quick. Because the guys in the white, they're trying to get to the quarterback. And every one of those guys up in front, their chop blocks. Their job was to make sure that guys up front of them, they weren't trying to move them anywhere. This was a quick pass. They'll make sure that all the guys up front had their hands down so they couldn't block the pass. So the linemen all fire out, and they hit the other guy down on his feet, so the guy has to bring his hands down to protect him so that the quarterback can get the ball off. It's not a big block. It's very, very simple. Just break his knees. Break his knees. Fire out and break his knees. And watch how quick this play happens. And when any one of those guys did anything remarkable other than what they were supposed to do. Don't watch the guy with the ball. Watch the guys in the red in the line, the ones who they're not the stars. You don't know who they are. Jeff Mathewson getting the ball snapped. The hitman, we call him, snapping the ball to Johnny, right? And all those guys up there just getting their man, and nobody even knows it. Don't watch quarterback. Don't watch Dwight. Just watch those seven guys up there in front. Go ahead. Here they come. Here they come.
A beautiful move.
We did it. We did it, baby. We did it. Wow, what a picture. How about that, Coach E? I know Coach E's out there listening. Huh? Yeah. Go ahead. Come on in, Dale.
Yeah, Coach, I posted in the timeline. See, that was a pretty good move by the wide receiver out there.
He's good.
You remember that old Cleveland move that you showed? I actually put it in the link. I copied it from you. I sent it on your phone. That offensive line, and it shows them plump, because before you get in the end zone, Coach, sometimes you got to make some first downs. Yeah. So I posted that link in the timeline there, that from your show of the Cleveland Browns. You remember that offensive line shoving goodness. The whole pile? There it is.
Oh, thanks, Dale. Huh? Hey, folks. Wow. Oh, yeah. The power of biblical unity. Watch this. Go back to the beginning. I captured this one day after a Browns game. I couldn't believe it. Now, look what we did here. Thanks, Dale. Great catch. So I had our great team there at Coach Dave Live. They put Episcopals, Methodists, Catholics, Presbyterians, and Lutherans. Each one of those guys represents somebody, right? And the goal is what? To get the ball in the end zone against the Ravens. Ravens are ahead 31-30, right? Watch this. Watch this. Here they all come. Look at all of them in there. Look at all of them in there.
That's how you push the other guy, Coach. You get him over that line.
Good catch, Dale. Man, that's a good catch. That's a good catch. Wow. Let me catch my breath here. I won't go to some of this. I got some good stuff. I'm not going to go to it. Doors open. Somebody come on. I got one thing I think I got to show. Come on.
And, Coach, continue to pray for my son. He is still – he went to the nose doctor and everything. That cerebral spine fluid is still in there. He's still got 4 more weeks of healing. It's incredible. Wow. He could have went to bed that night and never woke up.
Unbelievable. God's good, brother. Huh? God is good. Well, Lord, we just ask you to touch Levi even right now, Lord. Supernaturally touch him and heal him. You said healing is the children's bread. Well, Levi's one of your boys, and you need some bread. We believe you to do it in Jesus' name.
Amen, Coach. He was one of them big offensive linemen. He won All-State 3 years as an offensive lineman. He just came home last night. It was first time going and sitting with a karate team. He won. He had the most points in his school. He got like a 3-foot trophy, Coach, for being the top student.
Mm. Amen. Heal him, Lord. Heal him. Pull up.
We raise up fighters and we raise up winners here, Coach. That's what we do.
Hey, sometimes winners are losers on the school board. Do you know that? On the scoreboard? Do you know that? Pull up school board mom for me. You guys seen this? Huh? I bet her pastor's mad at her. I bet her Sunday school's mad at her. Go ahead, play it.
God bless this mother. Watch this. Hello, everyone. I've been coming here for 5 years now, and I was going to talk to you about some practical things that I thought you could change about 3210, but I've changed my mind. I've been really confused over the last 5 years as to why we spend 45 minutes to an hour of every public meeting talking about how great everyone is and how great everything is in the schools, and now I've figured it out. I figured it out because all these people came here to defend you all from hurtful words. This is obnoxious. Let me just say, there is one goal for the educational system. It should be to prepare children to enter careers, to be productive members of society. It is not a counseling session. It is not a self-help area. It is not somewhere to find yourself. And we should not be led by the children, for goodness sake. The children are called dependents for a reason. They depend on us who have fully developed brains. You cannot feel your way through life. The issues that we are talking about, we are bringing you statistics. We are talking about scholastics. We are talking about funding. We are talking about busing. We are talking about trying to figure out how to make our children be as successful as possible. And I am sure that that is your goal. And what we have been called tonight is what they're claiming that we're saying to children. We're having an adult conversation. There are not children in this room. We aren't going into the schools and calling them names. They call us Marxists and hateful and bigots and everything else under the sun. Well, let me tell you, less than 5% of the entire population of North Carolina identifies as LGBTQ. You guys all claim you want democracy. Well, you know what democracy is? It's the majority plus one. It's 50 plus one. You know what? More than 50% of the people in this state claim that they believe in God, Almighty God, who made us male and female, God who made marriage between a man and a woman, God who said that we must protect our children. The fact that we can stand up here and we know, we can brag about all of the wonderful graduations, but we know the statistics. 50% of children did not pass their end of grade test. What are we celebrating? We have children coming up here telling us how horrible the mental health crisis is. Why? Most of us went to public school, and all of our peers are not in mental health crises. We have to ask ourselves, what are we doing to our children? I'm going to say, we are discussing things with them that they are not emotionally, intellectually, and morally able to handle. That is what is causing the anxiety. That is what is causing the depression. That is what is causing the confusion. We need our children to be able to be children, to be able to be innocent, to be able to enjoy childhood and not know all of the drama and all of the difficulties in adult life. That is what we want. We want our children to be able to read and write and to think for themselves. And we demand that the children who fear God are protected in your schools.
Amen!
Boom.
Boom! So send that one to your pastor. Wow. Somebody come on in here. I got 7 minutes. 7 minutes to fill. I got some stuff to fill.
Yeah, I saw that, and that was just absolutely epic. Couldn't have said it any better.
Put it in the chat. It's epic. It's epic. Right?
Well, speaking of that, does Steven Crowder release more of the Transgender Manifesto? I think I posted a link in earlier in the chat.
A Transgender Manifesto.
Remember Audrey Hale?
The one that shot up everybody, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. The one that shot up everybody and then didn't know whether he was a boy or a girl. Yeah, I remember her. Yeah. The one that they honor, right? Right. Pull up for me one more thing here. Lost churches. Pull it up. Come on in, Lauren.
When I first was taking Hope's father to court and I was looking for help, the state's attorney that was assigned to me and told me, quote unquote, Nancy Carol Zimmer, told me, I don't represent you. I represent the best interest of the state. And that carried me through every single IEP 504 meeting that I had through the career of my daughter's educational career. Because when I walked into those rooms, I set the standard and said, I understand that you don't represent my best interest or my daughter's best interest. You represent the best interest of the state. And that is and now you have physical evidence that's showing that's exactly what they do. They're government employees. When my daughter's IEP, when she was trying to use a calculator, and it was, and this is a government document that states she was allowed to use a calculator while she was doing math calculations because she has dyscalculia. She's allowed to have that adaption in her in the way she does math because she can't do mental math, and that's part of autism because she can't mentally see it. Her math teacher said, no, you can't do it. She said, but I have an IEP, and my IEP states, and she's talking to her math teacher in high school that has no curriculum. District 205 has no curriculum for their special needs kids, and they still don't, 10 years out after her graduating. She said, but my IEP says that I can use a calculator in my, in my classwork. And she said, well, you can't use it. I'm the boss here. And she said, no, you're not. And she said, no, I am. She said, well, my mom said you're not the boss. And she said, well, you can tell your mom that I am the boss in this classroom. And she said, but you're not. She said, you work for my mom. And she said, I don't work for your mom. I work for the state. She said, but my mom pays taxes. She pays your salary.
Well,
and now that's from, and that is from a special needs kid because she was listening. So with two aspects of this, I want to thank everybody that's in this queue, and I want to thank you, Coach, and this team, because in the background, she's hearing it, and I'm watching her be encouraged by you all and this single mom. So thank you.
It's a war, baby. It's a war. It's a war. It's a war. You think the schools work for you? Good luck on that one. Play this one. 2%. These stats are hard to believe. Hey, I'm just telling you the truth here, okay? That's all I do. Go ahead.
Percent of churches. This is hard to believe. A recent survey done by the American Culture and Faith Institute interviewed churches across the nation and asked them very basic questions about doctrine. Did Jesus live a sinless life? Is Satan real or imaginary? 70% of the churches surveyed did not line up with the basic teachings of the Bible, which leaves only 100,000 churches in America who believe the core teachings of the Word of God. But of those 100,000 churches, when asked, do you preach these things? Do you teach these things? Only 2% said that they will teach those things from Scripture, that they will teach what the Bible teaches because they don't want to offend their congregants. They're not going to preach and teach what the Bible says about the current issues of the day. Only 2% of churches in America are actually preaching relevant messages from the Word of God to our culture. We need a revival. Only 2%.
Amen. Amen. So folks, here's what goes on. Look. Sorry. You get self-help sermons. And meanwhile, your schools are controlled by the wicked witch of the West. And you go to church and you get self-help sermons. 10 ways to do 10 things and you'll be happier and your life will be more joyful and you'll be all that emotion. And one of the things that made our football team's great. Put that picture back up there. That football picture up there again. You know, I want you to see, you know why these guys were great? Discipline, baby. Discipline. They all knew they had a job to do. They knew excuses didn't work. They knew hard work paid off. And they knew there was a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things.
Boom.
That's why that team went 10-0. That one right there, Chad Peters. Chad Peters, 24. Run that back there. Huh? Well, you just see little things when you watch film. See little things when you watch film. What's number 24? He didn't do anything. He was the wide receiver on the other side. Watch him. Here he comes. Watch him, boy. Yeah! We did it. He didn't do a damn thing. Come on, baby. We're better than this. See you tomorrow.